Welcome to the Ecosystemic Futures Podcast. I'm your host, Diane Finkhausen, former GE business leader and now founder and CEO of Shoshanworks, a global advisory firm for ecosystems and organizational transformation. As our world is increasingly digital and interconnected, ecosystemic models are reshaping the fundamental frameworks within society, industry, economy, and policy, and reframing how we innovate and build for resilient futures. In this series, brought to you by Shoshanworks in collaboration with NASA Convergent Aeronautics Solutions Project, we're exploring these new ecosystemic models and impacts. And over the next three episodes, we'll be discussing using AI in strategic decision-making, how to best leverage it to elevate human cognition, and finally, using AI to build better systemic thinking to support enhanced ecosystem wellness. My co-hosts today are James Villarubia from NASA and Ed Powell from TensorX. So let's go over to you, James. Welcome.
Thanks, Diane. I am James Villarubia. I'm currently a Presidential Innovation Fellow from NASA, and I'm working with the engineers and the scientists there to leverage AI to sort of improve how we approach problems, how we approach futurism, how we sort of design and think about dystopian futures, and then work backwards to find solutions that we might use to avoid those futures. So this particular conversation today is really exciting for me because it's at the heart of what our team does at NASA.
Fantastic. Thanks, James. And over to you, Ed.
Yeah, I'm Ed Powell. I'm CEO of TensorX. We sit at the intersection of the cloud, the crowd, and AI to drive operational performance. And I'm excited about this day, especially looking at ways of leveraging AI to drive decision making.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ed. Joining us today is our guest, Russ Dawson, futurist and famed keynote speaker. Welcome, Russ.
Hi. Wonderful to be here. It's such an important topic. So I'm a futurist. I have been in various guises for 25 years now and deeply fascinated by artificial intelligence because, amongst other things, it helps us define our human intelligence. So I suppose everything I've done has been human-centered. Humans are very, very speciesist and very focused on humanity. And one of the things about artificial intelligence, it helps us to understand us more as well as amplify us.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of your work, Russ, for a couple of decades now. So you've been one of my go-to resources for sensing and sense-making. So I'm thrilled that you're with us here today and looking forward to a great conversation. So, Russ, you've been a leading voice in the research, foresight, and concept development in this space for many years. And to that point, it might be helpful for our listeners to just frame up some of the definitions around augmented cognition and the landscape of problems and opportunities. Can you maybe help provide some context around how you're seeing AI and big data being used to really advance decision-making and strategic thinking?
So cognition is the key word here. And I think there's three words which we need to pay attention to and are paying attention to: intelligence, consciousness, and cognition. And we're focusing on cognition here, but I think intelligence is one of the things we're seeing AI start to manifest things where it can actually do well on what we have considered tests of intelligence, but now forcing us to reframe the scope of what we mean by intelligence and the many dimensions to intelligence, which are, from a human context, far more than what we would consider IQ or what machines are doing. Consciousness is something which is beyond scope today, but I think is still very important in this context of saying we are developing what is consciousness, what is self-awareness, what is that, with which we have, frankly, very little understanding, but where we need to advance that because we now have things which are non-human, which may well be soon or could even be demonstrating consciousness. So cognition is a lot simpler. We can understand that is simply the way we take in information, perceptions from the environment, process that in order to make models of the world that mean that we can act to achieve the outcome that we want. So that is what the human brain does. That is what it's exceptionally good at, is continually taking in information, making sense of that, and being able to act so to achieve what it is that we want. So when we look to augment that, I think there are two key aspects. One is what it is we can do to make our brains more effective. And I think that, you know, there are some very simple things. We know that some practices around our attention, for example, being able to focus longer or better to allocate the ways in which we are thinking, for example, can improve our attention, many aspects on that. But the other way is in terms of using artificial intelligence. So essentially a prosthesis for our cognition to be able to filter information, for example, to be able to add constructs for sense-making, which can complement our own sense-making in order to be able to amplify the ways in which we use our senses to communicate, for example. So now we are moving to a human AI symbiosis in our cognition. So this is a foundation now where we can look to AI and big data. So essentially big data feeds AI to recognize patterns, to be able to analyze that, to be able to build, you know, what is the beginnings of, you know, artificial beginnings of intelligence in the way which is working with that data. And we are now in that frame of saying, how is it that we can best bring these together, complement these? And I think there's been this frame around the side, oh, this AI does this and human intelligence does that. Now is the bringing together of how it is that we can have higher order decisions being worked on by AI and humans in conjunction, as opposed to the simple delegation of decisions to AI, simple things like credit lending decisions or algorithmic trading. And obviously we do need appropriate oversight for these kinds of decisions if we are fully delegating to AI. But everything that we don't fully delegate to AI, we have to have humans and AI in conjunctions in order to be able to hopefully increase the quality of our decisions. Since we want to make decisions better, faster, and cheaper. And if we can make better, faster, cheaper decisions, we will improve the quality of what it is we want to achieve.
So to follow up on that, I mean, I like that framework at the end that you mentioned, you know, better, faster, cheaper. I think that will resonate with our audience. But I feel like there's a trap there for AI that if you focus on just that, you might miss some of the sort of the broader concerns or structures that sort of drive sort of better integrations with sort of, you know, humanity and sort of the human goals. Can you talk about how those sort of differences line up? I mean, how intent may be, you know, like what we're actually trying to accomplish, how that could actually be built into these sort of new systems you are discussing?
So the first point is, you know, that's where I'm increasingly coming to, exactly that point, James, is that if we think about what is it, what are the distinctive roles of humans plus AI? I recently shared online what I called a macro workflow elements, I think, for humans plus AI. Essentially, what are the roles that humans can best play? What are the roles that AI can best play? And one of the things that machines do not have built into them from the outside is intent. Why? What is it that we want to achieve? What is our intention? And that is the framing, you know, what I've called the framing. We need to have a frame. What are our objectives? What's the context? You know, what are the parameters that we need to be considering? These are nothing, none of that comes in the machine. That is something that has to be given by the human. Now, to your point around, so this is where we need to essentially use that intent of humans, positive intent, we would hope, and to be able to amplify that intent. I would like to achieve, make a better world, however I define that. And I would like AI working with my capabilities to amplify my capability to achieve that. That's really the first frame. But the other point around building the intent into machines is where we get the alignment problem, where saying, however we build intent into machines, there is a risk, a finite and some would argue enormous risk of the intent that we build in the machines not being completely aligned with humans or maybe completely different. And I think that's one thing where we are getting to machines now which effectively do have intent. We are programming intent into them. So this comes back to the whole raft of research which has been done over a long time, is now intensifying around how it is we can best align that intent. My frame is simply starting from the human intent and be able to then say, how will these human AI systems best support that intent so that we are not thinking about AI and human in parallel, but always as much as possible as an integrated system.
So if we think about that as the kind of the backdrop and the kind of the opportunity landscape, what are Russ, maybe what are some of the archetypes and roles of humans and AI in kind of the building this decision landscape? How should we be thinking about the different archetypes of both the roles of humans and the roles of AI? And how do we think about at the meta level, making sure that we don't bump into these misalignment problems kind of systemically as different systems come online? How do we maintain alignment at the meta level?
So the first question, there's a few simple configurations, as it were. So as mentioned, we can fully delegate to AI, and they would also be building some kind of oversight into there. We can have AI do analysis and a recommendation. Could say AI will make a recommendation, and every single time the human approves it or doesn't approve it. So it's simple yes, no. We can have the AI provides input into human decision-making. So it analyzes, here are some trends, here's some analysis, here's some suggestions which you incorporate into your thinking. Another is that AI may, for example, provide options and humans can choose one of those options, for example, or provide or weight some of those. Or, you know, again, humans and AIs can play complementary roles there. But where it starts to get more interesting is where we are getting to, which is the sequencing, where, for example, AI may do, humans may frame the problem, AI might find a preliminary analysis, humans may flesh out the problem, AI will then provide some options, generate options, the humans would select some of those options, AI would then assess probabilities or do predictions around those options, humans would decide, etc. So these are a number of different, these structures of the configurations, essentially, of the roles of AI and humans and systems. And there's been some work on that, but I think we're fairly early on and been able to really particularly frame that. In terms of how this moves to systemic, how we think about the systemic risk. So Diane, was that really around the systemic risk or the around this? So there's key frames around that is that in the first instance, that we start to see the over-delegation to AI. That's the simplest aspect, where we delegate fully to AI, and we shouldn't, for bias, ethics, a whole range of reasons, and the fact that, of course, we have fairly low levels of explainability in most AI systems. So, but the where we start to get to some of these is that, so one of the reverse of the better, faster, cheaper decisions is we start to get so many decisions that we are not able to build effective oversight to that. We start to build essentially systems that are far more complex than we can comprehend, and where the implications of that start to not be understood, tractable to human cognition, and where there are unintended consequences. And there's obviously plenty we could dig into in that scope.
So this is a great thread. So when you think about the question of intent, because I do think that's kind of back to the larger question about what better is and faster, better, cheaper. How do you think about programming or indicating intent? Because we tend to think of complex systems as actually being trade-offs. So how would we think it, you know, if I say I have an intent of a certain thing, but at what cost? And what are the other externalities that are going to be impacted by that new intent? How does that get handled in this amplified cognition?
Well, I think one of the first points is that some of the amplification of our cognition, the amplification of our capabilities as humans, is forcing us usefully to actually have greater definition around some of these factors. Well, how do we catalog the risks? How do we catalog the phrase? How do we build scenarios around this? Because if we are simply humans and groups of humans acting, it is easier for us to have some kind of a sense of that. When we massively amplify our capabilities, what it does mean is that we do need to actually parameterize our thinking far better than we did. And I think that is one of the most useful aspects of all of this, is that we start to be able to frame that. And, you know, this comes back to governance in a sense. Governance systems are usually pretty crude and broken and holding us back. And I've talked a lot for about this idea of governance for transformation. How do we have governance systems that define and to corral and to mitigate risk, but also allow us to move at an extraordinary pace and to change things very fast. That's what we need to be designing. Well, we do need governance around these structures, which means that we have more and more frames, but there is still the risk that as we pull these into machines, that it starts to be more complex than we can possibly comprehend.
So, I mean, to maybe restate that, what I'm hearing is that we couldn't go fast, or not as fast as we thought, and AI has enabled a certain level of amplification and speed, which we, you know, in areas where we, you know, maybe had not seen before. And now that we can sort of achieve these speeds with the new technology, there's a moment, I guess, it sounds like you're sort of advocating or sort of revisit our initial intent to revisit that framing or that structure before we get a little bit ahead of us. Not that we should turn it off altogether, but that there is a way to sort of balance these and use it as an amplification tool. And is that a fair assessment or?
Yes, absolutely. So it's like if you're riding a bicycle, then yeah, you don't need to pay too much attention. If you're in a super tanker, you gotta make attention you don't bump into something. And it's actually, super tanker is not the best analogy because they're slow to move. So whatever the jumbo, whatever it is, you know, we have to be more careful around which way we'll fly and how fast we're flying because we are empowered.
And I think, I guess the thing that sort of stuck out to me that you were sort of referencing is this idea that the spaces that we've not investigated or not had this sort of capability before, where it's not like, oh, we understand the speed here is that, oh, people who have only ever ridden bikes are now piloting super tankers, and that there is, you know, maybe a skill gap because AI is amplifying in new ways and new potentialities. So we need to sort of push for this broader conversation, which sounds like you are, you know, doing and advocating, which is great.
So along those lines, when you think about a complex system and you think about processes, how much energy is being expended in looking at where this amplification is best and optimized in those processes? Let me give you an example. So they found, for example, that when doing tumor detection and tumor false alarm, that the humans were much better at detection and the machine was much better at reducing false alarm rates. Or maybe it was reversed, but the two things, when you add either of them separately, it was like a 70% kind of positive rate and a reasonable false alarm. But when you put them in the right sequence, in other words, when the humans did what humans do really well and the machine did what it does really well, the numbers went in the high 90s. And so how much do you see in terms of people currently looking at where to inject, based on hypothesis testing kinds of approaches, this amplified intelligence?
We've seen some early work around this. And this goes to the point that this is very much a nascent field. And so, for example, some of these questions have been framed well by Eric Brynjolfsson and Andrew McAfee and some of their work around AI and human sequencing and decisions. But the point I would make around the conclusions they reached were, in fact, that it is very specific to the class of decisions and class of problems. You cannot generalize any particular type of sequencing, as it were, humans and AI, to other decision classes. So in some cases, and so I believe that their points were being made around the prisoner recidivism problem, as in, you know, do you use AI or humans to be able to let people out on parole? And that is, you know, there's many debates around those kinds of issues. And so that's one particular class of problems where a lot of human aspects, there's a lot of data available with some degree of prediction, there's a lot of bias in the systems, which the data behind that, of course, and, you know, a lot of intangibles in how some of the self-perpetuating aspects of this data. But that particular class of problems is quite different from ones where we may have different data sets, there's different sequences and different ways of being able to test whether decisions will be successful, a whole array of different parameters. So I think we are beginning to get to that idea of how it is we structure human plus AI decision making, but we're fairly early on. We do have to be very careful that this is applied to well-defined decision classes and understand the nature of those. One of my greatest interests is around the most complex broad ones, which are around strategic decision-making and investment decision-making. But there's a whole array of systems down to ones which are completely automated, which, you know, we do need to learn from. And just one key point around here is that one of the first things we have learned is from algorithmic trading. So this has been happening for 30 years, really, or probably even longer. And that has already had unintended consequences. There's players that have chosen to risk capital and sometimes lose capital in those ventures and with impact on others. And I think that there is probably some lessons to learn from the out of scope or potentially over use of algorithms in things which can have large impacts.
So this is actually fascinating, and we're going to do a quick round robin here. But Russ, what we're hearing here, and if I am kind of synthesizing this appropriately, I'd love to get your takeaway here. But what I'm hearing is a massively tremendous opportunity for higher order approaches to sensing, sense making, decision making, and execution. It has tremendous potential positive and negative implications for industry and policy, but also education. I'm thinking about how quickly this is evolving in industry and policy, but then also kind of backing up to the implications for our educational system as well. And so, you know, we all collectively are kind of learning this together and building this together, but at a high gear of a high rate of change in the markets today. So we collectively need to, I think, come together and make sure that we're decisioning and designing for ecosystemic wellness here. Is my key takeaway from the conversation today. Let's go around the table here, starting with you, James, then we'll come around to you, Ed, and Ross will close out with your key takeaways from the conversation today.
Sure. Thanks, Diane. I suspect that, I guess, my key takeaway from this conversation was really around the idea sort of that better, faster, cheaper. The thought or the framing in my mind is that it sounds like that we cannot simply inject AI into our sort of current decisioning structure, in that there are sort of unknown and known consequences of that, and there are sort of limits. And trying to rethink about, it's not simply that we're adding AI to our processes, amplifying our processes with AI, but sort of amplify the decision-making process itself. And that taking sort of that step back, saying, how can we redesign how we make decisions with AI, of the intent and the structure and the risks sort of built into that, that we need sort of one order, one layer above. And I think that's, you know, to me, a great takeaway. And I hope for our listeners, are you thinking about the problem at the right level? As a lot of these, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are starting to work with AI in their companies. So I think that's the one that's going to stick with me for sure. Ed, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, James. So I think this is fascinating. Two things really come to me. One is to get operational buy-in. Ross mentioned explainability. And one of the issues with deep learning, you know, deep learning networks is that it's oftentimes they're incredibly adaptable, and oftentimes it's very difficult to have explainability. And so I think that explainability is key. What I find that's amazingly hopeful is the opportunity to establish a goal and then to have a series of agents that run the goal, and you find all the unintended consequences and you defend against them. So I think that actually is a fascinating opportunity to see that in spite of having a stated goal, what the agents could actually do if they kind of run amok. And I think that might give us a lot of insight about human behaviors in the same situations.
I really like that. It's a great way to frame it. And when I come back to where we started with, said, you know, and everyone's talking about intelligence, people are talking more about consciousness. The word cognition is not used so much, but I think that's just such a useful frame. How is it, you know, that's what humans do, we understand that. But if we can say, how is it that we expand that scope? You know, cognition is sensing. It's sensing the world, seeing what's going on. It is being able to build useful models. It is being able to act as a result of that. Or, you know, the part of that, of course, is the decision, fundamental part of it. I will do this because I think it's likely to lead to better, you know, to the outcome that I want. And that's the sort of the ultimate, the pinnacle, as it were, of cognition, is the right decision in the environment or the circumstances to achieve the intent you want. And if that's the point at which we are applying AI, then it's so fraught with challenges. And I love your idea of ahead of discovering the unintended consequences by, you know, letting it rip within a sandbox or hopefully not too much beyond. But finding the ways where we can augment that, where we, from our intent, we can achieve the things we wanted, the good things that we want, better than ever before.
Love that. Such a hopeful conversation here. And we're hearing so many very stark kind of positive and negative accounts of the implications of AI and augmented cognition in the headlines. And I love this perspective. And Ross, you offer so many tools to help us think about how to organize our world with these exciting new tools. So we thank you for this conversation and for all the work that you're doing. And we look forward to the next two episodes where we continue this conversation. So for our listeners, please join us. Please stay with us. Come back and listen to the next two episodes where we'll continue with Ross. And we'll continue to kind of think through how AI will play a role in strategic thinking, making and decision making and thinking, and how we can use AI and similar tools to amplify cognition in order to design for better ecosystem wellness. So follow us on Apple Podcasts or your favorite place to access podcasts, and you can learn more at shushumworks.com. Thanks, everyone.